The only freedom which deserves the name is that of pursuing our own good in our own way, so long as we do not attempt to deprive others of theirs or impede their efforts to obtain it. And this week's opening quote comes from John Stuart Mill. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, welcome to 2019, ladies and gentlemen, and very sorry that I didn't bring you a show last week. I've had a lot of major stuff going on here. People come to visit and all sorts of things, so I just didn't get the chance to put one out, so I'm very sorry about that. But welcome to the new year anyway, and I think it's going to be quite an interesting year, ladies and gentlemen. There's certainly been a lot happening on the political front. And I think in 2018 we saw a lot of the dominoes being put in place that are set to fall in 2019. I think it's going to be a very interesting year. Yeah, no matter how you look at it, there's just a lot unfolding on the world stage at the moment. Trump pulling the troops out of Syria is very interesting. It's good in many ways. It's a great thing. I mean, they shouldn't have been in there to begin with, but you've really got to look at the ulterior motives in why we'd be doing it. You know, the United States' relationship with Turkey is becoming ever more strained. Of course, this is very understandable because of the way the United States set Turkey up with the initial invasion into Syria. If people remember the initial gas attack in Syria that was claimed in Syria a few years ago, it turned out to be a complete fraud, that the United States and the allies of the United States attempted to use as an excuse to go and invade Syria. And they told Turkey they were going to back them when they went in to save the people. And Turkey, of course, made an excursion into Syria, and then the United States and the allies of the United States decided, well, actually, we're not going to support you in this at all. We're just going to sit back here because our people aren't happy with us. And so they set the whole thing up. They staged the fake attack, and then they kind of left Turkey holding the bag. And Turkey has basically had enough of dealing with the United States and is almost on the verge of pulling out of NATO and siding with Russia and Iran. And should that happen, things will go very, very bad for the state of Israel. And Israel has already suffered greatly in 2018. It's suffered a major loss of confidence in the eyes of the rest of the world. It's sort of been exposed for what it is by many people. And it's really floundering at the moment to gather international support. I mean, it still has international support in name from governments, but it most certainly doesn't have it from the majority of people around the world because too many people have become aware of the actions of the state of Israel now. And so when you consider that and you look at Trump's troop withdrawal from Syria, it really doesn't appear that it's being done to heal the situation in Syria. There's every indication that it's actually being done to smooth over the relationship, the strained relationship the United States has with Turkey in order to provide more security for the state of Israel. So you've really got to look at things and put them on the world stage and see how all the factions are being played off against each other. I mean, Trump supports the state of Israel seemingly more than he even seems to support the United States. So when you look at his move, it's quite important to factor Israel in and see how whatever political moves he's making will support the Israeli state. And that really is what this troop withdrawal from Syria seems to be all about. And of course, the reason the Democrats and all the other people, the Minister of Defense and all these sort of people are up in arms and so upset about Trump's withdrawal of troops from Syria is because the United States troops in Syria were never about removing ISIS and freeing the country of terrorist activity. You see, that's why the United States government constantly referred to the situation in Syria as being a civil war, when it wasn't. It was simply a country being overrun by terrorists, all of whom had incidentally just been used to create the destabilization of Libya, and they then simply moved them over to Syria and called them ISIS and used them to invade Syria in a covert invasion. The goal of the United States being in Syria in the first place was never to remove the country of terrorists. It was to overthrow the Assad regime and to assist the terrorists, who it referred to mainly as moderate rebels, in achieving that end. And so that's why people don't want Trump to withdraw from Syria, because they want Assad gone. But of course, it won't really matter. Trump can withdraw from Syria in name, pull the US troops out and appease Turkey. Israel is running ISIS and all the terrorist activity in Syria anyway, so the terrorist activity will continue as long as Israel continues to run these terrorist factions, such as ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra Front, and all the other groups masquerading as Muslim extremist factions that Israel is actually running. Have you noticed Al-Qaeda is making the news again, folks? They've been saying that, oh, while we've been distracted with ISIS, Al-Qaeda has been building its bank account and now it has a huge amount of funds to stage terrorist operations. You know, if there's a local drug dealer, you can get the government to freeze their bank account, but apparently we can't do it with Al-Qaeda. And so they are revamping Al-Qaeda for the new, improved, remodeled Al-Qaeda now that ISIS is losing steam. And of course, once Al-Qaeda loses steam, the new revised version of Al-Qaeda loses steam, we'll probably see a resurgence of ISIS warriors who will have been incidentally collecting massive amounts of funds while we were busy distracted with Al-Qaeda. It's all Israeli operations, folks, and it's all theatre for the masses, and it's all so very predictable. And people may debate whether Israel is floundering in public opinion at the moment, and the fact of the matter is it is, folks. You can always tell when Israel's having bad public relations with the rest of the world because you'll see a terror attack waged against the state of Israel, such as we recently saw in Philadelphia. Israel's public relations image had become so terrible that they had to stage a terror attack just to garner support for the state of Israel, because Israel lives on sympathy. That's its whole card. Everything it does is to garner sympathy from the rest of the world. If it wasn't for sympathy, the state of Israel wouldn't exist, the sympathy of the Holocaust. This is what constantly pushes the Palestinian people, pushes them and pushes them every day until they respond, because when they respond, you can say, oh my God, we're threatened by terrorists, we need more support from the rest of the world, Israel is such a struggling state, and we're always under such constant threat, and it's just a sympathy card. And whenever public relations starts to dim and people start to discover the true Israel, Israel will always stage another terror attack against itself in order to play that sympathy card and to regarner public support for its actions. It's almost like clockwork, folks. Whenever you see an Israeli PR nightmare, you will always see an attack against Israel soon follow in order for Israel to regain the sympathy that it needs to survive. And even now with Trump's withdrawal from Syria, which ultimately is to support the state of Israel, as I pointed out before, but even with that, you're seeing the Democrats and all the other people, the Republicans and all these politicians in the United States saying, well, we will continue to support Israel even though Trump is pulling troops out of Syria, which is going to damage Israel so much. It's not, folks. It's actually the only thing that is saving Israel from what would very likely occur should any strengthening of ties develop between Turkey and Iran, which would, of course, go very bad for the state of Israel. But really, when you look at it, it will also provide the excuse for clandestine operations to be launched to help Israel. It will provide the excuse to continue things such as the White Hats, to allow NGOs to help, and all sorts of stuff to get in there to provide logistic support in Syria, to support the Israeli cause and to protect Israel and all the stuff that they were presented as. And so the United States will be able to continue its actions in Syria. It'll just be doing it without officially having boots on the ground, which is pretty well the way it was running things before there were boots on the ground. All the world is a stage, ladies and gentlemen, and when you see all of these things happening, you've really got to step back and look at it and look at the bigger picture and realize that all of it is a play. Even with the situation that is occurring on the Mexican border, all of this is a play. I mean, I'm sure it's all very serious for the people who are involved, who are suffering hardship on the border, but how did it happen, and why did it happen, and why now? Who organized it? Who are these people? Why is there suddenly a caravan moving towards the Mexican border? Have you ever heard of a caravan of people on the way to the United States before, the way we saw caravans of people going into Europe? I mean, why would people join a caravan now? Trump has just announced he's going to close the border and he's cracking down on the illegal immigrants. So, of course, you would come from Honduras and Yemen and all these other places and join a caravan and attempt to enter the United States via the Mexican border, as you do when a country has just announced it's cracking down on immigration, most especially from Mexico. Why caravan and why now? I mean, the timing is impeccable. And while this is all going on, you've still got Trump's Make America Great Again mentality going on. So he's isolating America from Europe, isolating America from as many countries as he can through tariffs and via aggressive foreign policy. This is providing the excuse Europe needs to pull away from the United States and embrace the new Chinese One Belt, One Road system. And domestically, Trump seems to be doing everything he can to bring as much flack as he can back on himself. And it's all part of the theatre. And again, folks, the timing is impeccable. It all makes Trump appear to be the struggling underdog and allows all the dominoes to be put in place that can be pushed over later. But they've got to present Trump to be a truther and the one who is working for the people, even though he's working for Israel. Because if people don't see some sort of political turmoil happening and some sort of revolution against the deep state happening, then there's very likely to be a revolution on the ground at home. And the thing is that there's every reason for such a revolution to happen, and the reasons for such an action from the people are compounding by the day. I mean, there's so many things being revealed to the public now. The fact that global warming is a complete scam. 30,000 scientists have come forth saying that global warming is a complete hoax now. The amount of information that's come out about vaccines. The DOJ has announced that the flu shot is the most dangerous vaccine delivered to the American people. So why are people taking it? There's so many things are coming out, folks. People are realizing that cancer is completely curable. You can use hemp to cure cancer. It'll cure any cancer in a matter of a couple of months, and that hemp was banned under false pretenses to begin with. Many people are realizing that this whole government system is just a scam. All of these wars are just theater. And we're seeing disgruntled people virtually in every country on earth. Great action that's been happening in France, which of course is being vilified by the media. And the French President Macron is saying that the Yellow Vests are simply anti-democracy, nasty, hateful people, which is exactly the opposite of what they are. And the fact of the matter is that it is actually the Macron government which is anti-democracy and nasty and full of hateful people, which is why the protests are happening to begin with. But the point is that we are seeing a massive amount of unrest in the world. You know, people are beginning to realize that nothing's going to change unless they make some noise about the situation that they're facing. You know, and there's been a lot of things that have been coming out to unite people as well. I mean, there's all sorts of movements to keep people divided, of course. You can go and join whatever color revolution you want, or you can go and join some social justice warrior group or whatever and fight not only against the government, but also against all of your peers all around you, which is what they want these movements for. But a lot of these things are being put aside by people, and people are beginning to realize that there is a need for common unity in the community. Now, that everybody is facing the same problems, and that the problems are coming from government, and that we've been lied to on so many counts now that it doesn't really matter what group you join. That's probably based in a lie as well. You know, we've been lied to about everything, folks. A lot of the stuff that's been coming out about history has been very interesting as well. The revelation of Great Tartaria and the revelation that we very likely had free energy as recently as 150 years ago. This has been very inspiring for a lot of people as well. And it's bridged the gap of a lot of different fields of research, and that's been a good thing to see. And that's another thing that is really serving to wake a lot of people up, really causing people to question their surroundings. You know, the fact that this ancient culture was there and has been hidden from us so effectively and so deliberately and by pretty well every government on earth, this is a huge revelation for people, and it's a huge awakening, and it's a huge light bulb that's been going off in people's minds. And it really has been a huge cover-up, folks. And when you kind of look at it, you can see how easy it's been done simply by controlling the education system. And it becomes very apparent that all the governments are working together to do this. This is why when you really put it in perspective, you see how all the governments work together in everything that they do. Most of these wars are contrived. Most of the wars are not country going to battle with country. It's simply an operation to destroy infrastructure, an operation to destroy remnants of the past. You look at the situation in Libya, the situation in Syria. What have they done in Syria? They've done everything they can but overthrow Assad. All they've done is turn the country to rubble, and some of the oldest cities that we know of were destroyed in Syria. And before that, before the so-called rebel uprising in Syria, it was one of the most tourist-friendly countries on earth to visit anywhere. I mean, it was always a very, very hospitable country, always a very safe country. Now it's anything but, and again, it's always been about creating the situation that we've got now and destroying the infrastructure. And it's what they did through Europe in World War One, World War Two, what they did to London, what they did in San Francisco with the Great Fire of San Francisco. And, you know, if you look through the history books of the United States, you'll find that there's been a great fire in almost every major city in the United States. There's been great fires in major cities all around the world at some stage or other. You've got to ask the question, what were these about? What was it really for? Was it simply because someone had a bakery that went wrong, or was it really a deliberate act to destroy infrastructure and to destroy and replace buildings and to destroy technology? Because there's a lot of evidence coming out to suggest that's what all of this has been about. And really, when you put it in an even broader perspective, you begin to see that all of the wars that have been fought over the last 200 to 300 years have all been really the one war. It's been the same war that's been ongoing since the Napoleonic War, and it's been all about destroying this ancient culture and destroying all trace of this ancient culture. And what we're given is all sorts of little semi-theatres of political conflict, and we've been conditioned to perceive these as being the cause of what's going on. But all this political unrest, it's all theatre for the masses. It's all contrived. They get in front of the camera and they argue with each other, but when the camera turns off and they go behind closed doors, they're all working together to achieve a common goal. And that should be obvious to anybody. I mean, really, all you've got to do is look around at the state of the world and realize that it's the same in every country. It doesn't matter where you go. The political situation is virtually the same. You know, you're told that you live in the best country on earth, that everybody else is a threat to you, and that you should do what your government says because they're there to protect you, and you live in fear of the people across the border and in fear of your own government. It's the same in every single country. It doesn't matter. And it's all moving towards the same agenda. It doesn't matter where you're from. It's all moving towards this one world order, and every single country is involved in it. And again, the one world order that's coming out is the tech that everybody's using. It's the smart grid, the 5G system, all of the surveillance society that is coming in, the social crediting that's been introduced in China. This is the new world order, and this is what is coming in under the chaos of the political and world situation, under the chaos of all of these wars, under the chaos of all of this migrant activity. You know, the concept of order out of chaos. How do you get order out of chaos? People think, oh, it's just going to be this big war and this big chamozzle, and its police state will rise out of it. No, you turn the world into a chaotic mess so nobody knows what's going on, and then you roll the order out under the carpet and you get them to comply with it without even knowing that they're doing so. And that's what this whole smart system's been about, and they've been quite successful at it up until now. And it's important that they lock it down very, very quickly, which is why they've escalated things to the point that they have now. Well, we're seeing so much theatre going on because people are waking up. You know, all the stuff that I mentioned before, people are waking up to how corrupt this system is. People are beginning to wise up to the fact that all their governments are working together. People are beginning to realize that we don't need to be fighting all these wars. We don't need to be doing what we're told all the time. We don't need to be complying to the will of criminals, which is essentially what we're doing by constantly obeying government guidelines rather than our own moral compass. People are realizing we don't need to do this. So they need to roll the tech out underneath everything as quickly as they can and get people locked into this tech world. Because then they will be controlled by social crediting, and they will police themselves, and they will have to police themselves in order to survive at all within the system. It's all been one big play, folks, but the chaos that we are expecting in the world is there now. It's all around us, and the order that they want to implement is there all around us as well. One is simply superimposing itself over the other. People have just been expecting the wrong type of chaos and the wrong type of order. They haven't really been looking at the bigger picture. But you put all this in perspective. I mean, look at what Trump is doing. Look at what all these world political leaders are doing. Look at these wars and conflicts and how things are escalating and all of this theater that we're seeing, the assassination of Khashoggi, people up in arms about this and up in arms about that, and arms trading and all sorts of stuff. Europe being overrun by migrants. You've got white genocide being virtually announced by government in South Africa. Chaos on the US-Mexican border, Trump in there as a battling underdog, all this disruption and chaos in France, all this political unrest in England, Brexit, all of this stuff, replacing prime ministers in Australia, political correctness going haywire and off the charts in Canada. You've got the whole truth community, the whole resistance fighting amongst themselves. No one can make up their minds whether the earth's round or flat or whatever else it is they want to believe. legalizing marijuana in as many places as they can around the world, so everyone's partying about that and not noticing what's going on. And then underneath it all, you've got the tech rolling out, and you can really begin to see exactly what is happening and where we're heading. And it's tricky, you know, it's very difficult bringing this information to people. I mean, we have seen a little bit more unity developing in the resistance now that people are beginning to put their belief systems aside a little bit. You know, I'm still getting a lot of trolling from people with belief systems of whatever shape they believe the earth is, but then you get that. I'm kind of getting used to it. But there is a lot of unity growing, and people are beginning to see the need to put all these belief systems down. But the difficult part about it is that people, when you attempt to bring them this information, they very often view you as being someone who is scared of technology. And they say, well, it's so ironic you're trying to warn us about technology, but here you are using the internet to do it. You know, the thing is, there's nothing wrong with technology. The problem is the fact that the world's run by criminals and the surveillance grid that they're putting in place through the use of this technology, the fact that everything is being given an economic value, you are being given an economic value, and people are beginning to be ruled by political correctness. They're talking about bringing in laws to control you using pronouns. You've got to use all these made-up words and all these made-up pronouns and all this ridiculous stuff, and you've got to become stupid enough to think that there's more than two genders and all this sort of stuff. They're trying to legislate this sort of stuff into reality, folks, and it's not reality. And when you get to a point where you are being penalized economically because you're not prepared to say, look, there's 45 genders or whatever, when there isn't, there's only two, and there only ever will be two. And it doesn't matter if someone's had an operation to become transgender. You know, a transgender man is not a woman. A transgender man is a feminized man. I mean, that's the way it is. It's a man that's been feminized and turned into someone that appears to be a woman. But it doesn't matter. You're not a woman. That's just the way it is. It doesn't matter what operation you do. You're never going to be a woman. It doesn't matter how you think inside. You're not a woman. You're a gay man. That's just the way it is. Deal with it. And no, I'm not homophobic, folks. I'm simply stating the truth. Deal with it. And that's just the way it is. But this sort of stuff is being outlawed. And you know, soon I won't even be able to say that. In fact, I'd probably get in trouble for saying that in some countries. Now, that's how stupid the world has become. So, you know, people have to see where we're being led, folks, because when that type of conversation is outlawed and you become economically penalized for saying it, and it happens digitally, suddenly you lose social credit points and can't buy a plane ticket because you didn't use some pronoun for someone who thinks they're a woman when they're not, they're a man who's had an operation, then where do you go from there? You know, when it gets to the point that we have to police our thoughts to the point that we basically have to become mundanely stupid and deny reality the way this whole transgenderization thing is doing, the way the offense laws and all of this political correctness and social justice warriors, you're never allowed to offend anyone. They say they want to live in a democracy, but you're never allowed to offend anyone. Well, how can that be a democracy? How can you ever have any open discussion or offer any opinion of anything that isn't the mainstream if you're never allowed to offend anyone? It's ridiculous. Now, all the government does is offend the people all the time, and if you ever voice your opinion about it or lift your voice above 2 decibels, then people tell you to calm down and don't get offensive. Well, hang on, you're not being offensive. The government is being offensive. You're simply pointing that out. Why is pointing out their offensive activity being construed as being offensive? You know, these are the questions we need to ask, folks, but it's getting to the point that we're not going to be able to do or think or say anything that is real if we allow the governments to continue what they're doing. So, you know, people are seeing the need to put all of this stuff down, and hopefully they're seeing the opportunity that this situation is giving to us. Because when it gets to the point where stupidity is being legislated and emotion is being outlawed and questioning is being outlawed, then it's time to stand up for yourself, folks. It's time to realize that if you allow the world to go into this direction and you allow them to finalize this system that they're putting in place, then you're not going to be able to act in any way that would be even vaguely construed as being human in the very near future. And we very much need to deal with this situation. No, it gets enormously frustrating, folks. It really does. It gets enormously frustrating having done this show for so many years and seeing the world not changing. And I'm sure that there's many of the listeners who feel the same way. I do get a lot of emails from people who appear to be just as frustrated as I am. And when I say these things, folks, I'm certainly not talking about you. You know, when I vent my frustration at the state of the world and my frustration at the inaction of people, I'm certainly not referring to the listeners of the show. And I'm certainly not accusing you out there listening to this of being inactive. I'm just kind of generalizing and speaking about the world in general. And thank you for giving me this platform that I can vent these thoughts on sometimes. But I do get sick of it, folks, and I do get sick of the trolling. I get sick of the baiting comments. I get so sick of flat earthers leaving baiting comments on my videos, and I still get along with a lot of flat earthers. I have a lot of time for a lot of them. There's a lot of good people in there. But people have come along, and then they say, why do you believe in the blue marble? And you say, well, hang on, I don't do belief. I don't believe in either model. And they'll leave a comment like that, and they'll tell you that they're not a flat earther, but why do you believe in the blue marble? And I say, well, obviously because you called it a blue marble, you are a flat earther. Why are you trolling my videos when I don't do belief? And I still get a lot of this from people, and it gets enormously frustrating, folks, because it just creates division. And whatever you believe this earth is, folks, it's a prison, and you're never going to be able to put the argument to rest until you establish freedom. And the fact that you're arguing over a belief system and not establishing freedom is everything the government ever needed you to do to ensure that you never obtain that freedom. You know, divide and conquer is the motto, folks, so we've got to put all this stuff down, and we've got to stop trolling each other. Stop pushing our belief systems on other, most especially with these passive-aggressive posts that people make. They accuse you of something and say, well, I'm just going to accuse you of this, even though I don't believe this, but I'm going to accuse you of this anyway. And then if you retaliate at all, they accuse you of being aggressive. You know, passive-aggressive comments on YouTube are quite despicable, and people need to stop it. If you're going to make passive-aggressive comments, make them towards the government, folks. But even if you're going to do that, I would suggest don't make them passively aggressive. Just speak the blatant truth to these people and do it as publicly as possible, and perhaps it will make a difference. But trolling each other on YouTube does not benefit anyone but government, and people seriously need to put all of this stuff down. As I keep saying, folks, divide and conquer is the motto. And people who are doing this are working for the government, whether they have realized it or not. It's just a program that they're running, and the only people who benefit from these actions is government. And people really seriously do need to put all this type of behavior down. But folks, I think we are getting very close to break time here, and I can hear some rain coming, so we may well even be in for some rain for the rest of the show. So we'll just see how that goes, but I'll leave it here for now because I can feel a break coming on, and I can feel the rain coming on. So thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so there is an awful lot of theatre going on. As always, there's always theatre going on. A lot of people seem to be still waiting for all of the Q scenarios to come to pass, all of the information that the Q-tubers have been putting out lately, the 50,000 sealed indictments and all of this sort of stuff. I mean, it's a year they've been waiting for this to happen, folks, or probably a little bit over a year now, actually. I'm just wondering how long people expect these indictments to stay sealed, and why anyone would have been given sealed indictments that they're instructed to sit on for a year. Here's these 50,000 criminals that have all been indicted to be arrested and go to trial, but we're just going to let them roam free for the next 14 or 15 months or so, as you do when you come across 50,000 criminals who need arresting, because it's just the way to do things. I really don't understand how people are buying into all this stuff, but there are many people who are still hanging on to every word the Q-tubers are saying, and many people who still believe this whole Q scenario is a reality. But in the meantime, while people are sitting back with their popcorn waiting for Trump to change the world and for all these mass arrests to happen, the smart grid is continuing to roll out. Everything is continuing along with the same agenda, and not only that, but it's escalating more and more. You know, we are literally under attack from so many directions, folks. We really are. I mean, they started off with the breakdown of the family unit back in the 1940s and 50s, the introduction of television, which then started programming people into what to think, the theft of the children via the public education system. They take everybody's children away from them as soon as they reach 5 years old, and then they indoctrinate them into thinking the way the government wants them to think. Then they started modifying our food, introducing all of this genetically modified food, which is destroying our health. Then they started attacking us with vaccines and destroying our immune system. Now they're spraying our skies and affecting the light that we live by. You know, this light that we live by, folks, the skies, the sunlight is no longer a golden light that it used to be. It's kind of a silver light now because of the amount of spraying in the skies, the removal of incandescent light bulbs so that we're all using LED lights and all of this damaging light, lights that give off dirty electricity and bad light spectrums. And LED lights, it just makes you grumpy as well, folks. It's that bland white type of light. And it's just not a good light. You don't even see the full spectrum of color in such lighting. And it's ultimately bad for your eyes and it's bad for your entire nervous and health system. I've even heard that it possibly damages your endocrine system. So I do recommend that people look into this. And also light is affecting us in other ways as well. As I've mentioned possibly a couple of years ago, all the lights that we look at, all the electric lights, they flicker. They have a flicker rate. Even if you look at traffic lights at an intersection, you look at tail head lights on the car in front of you. If you video any of these things, hit them with a normal video camera with a high frame rate, you can see that there's a flicker rate in all of the lights. And this flicker rate is deliberate and it is done to shut down our corpus callosum and prevent the left and right hemispheres talking to each other. The light, the artificial light that we live by in the world today, is actually an essential part of the mind control system, folks. That may seem like a paranoid conspiracy theory, but it's not. And I do recommend that you look into this stuff. Because if you do, you're going to find out that it's true. And it's important for people to get this type of knowledge, because you'll never know your enemy and you'll never be able to fight your enemy or at least combat what is happening to you if you are not aware of the weapons that the enemy is using against you. And these are the sorts of things that they're using to attack us, folks. Every single thing you can think of. They're attacking the air we breathe. They're attacking the food that we eat, the water that we drink, even the light that we see by and the sounds that we are surrounded by. You know how they change the key of music and they've disconnected us from the healing that exists around us in that way as well. They're very much disconnected us from everything that we are, and it's an ongoing thing. And what we're really seeing with this smart grid, folks, it's just the final icing on the cake. I mean, the control grid is already here. It's been here for a long time. It's been here for at least two generations, and it's just compounding itself, and it's doing the final lockdown, and it's putting the surveillance grid in place. And most of the people are still completely failing to see it. Most of the people are simply caught up in this fictional reality where they believe everybody is a threat, everybody is dangerous, it's a dangerous world outside, and the only really dependable friend they have is government. When, of course, the real reality is that nothing could be further from the truth. All of the problems that we face in the world today come from government. And a lot of people question me when I say that, but it's true, folks. You know, the legislation is what causes all of these problems. The fact that all of these vaccines are doing all this damage in the world, it's because they're legislated to be there. All of this transgenderism, the anti-offense laws, the use of all these ridiculous invented pronouns, all of this stuff that they're bringing out, it's all because it's legislated into being, folks. The fact that you can't question the Holocaust, it's because it's legislated into being. The fact that when you see a company destroying the environment and you attempt to do something about it, you get tied up in red tape, red legal tape, because it's legislated to be there. And the company's even getting away with the problems because it's legislated that they can do so. So it all comes down to legislation, folks. This is why I'm so anti-government with what I say. And people say, oh, Max is always blaming the government. Well, it's not that I'm blaming the government. I'm just identifying the fact that the government are the CEOs who allow all this stuff to happen due to the fiction that they write on paper. You know, we look at all this fiction and we think it's real. We think we have to let these companies destroy the world because somebody wrote down on paper that they could do so. It's ridiculous, folks. You know, the fact is that it's just racketeering. Everything the government does is racketeering, as I've said so many times. And at the moment, I believe the government is still shut down in the United States. So has anyone noticed? that the government is shut down. Has anyone noticed there's no government there, folks? All it means is that there's no new legislation being brought out to suppress anyone. There's no new crimes being created while the government is shut down. That's all it means. Of course, all of the stuff, all the crimes they've already committed are still going on. All of the wars are still going on. All the bombs are still being dropped. All the police are still arresting people and beating people up. Everyone's still paying taxes. All of this sort of stuff's still going on. So how shut down is it really? You know, all it means is that they're not in there making new decisions on how they can mess your life and how they can extract more income from you. That's all government does, folks. They sit there and they think of new ways of extracting wealth and extracting life force from people. And if they can't do it from the people in their own country, then they concoct a war and go and do it with someone else. But all these wars are contrived and all of these governments work together anyway. And it should be so obvious to people now. With all of these conflicts that have happened in the Middle East, it should be so obvious how all of these governments are working together. The whole bounce-back situation between Russia and the United States, Iran and the United States, Assad, all of this stuff that's going on, folks, it should be obvious to everybody that they are all working together. You know, if Assad really was the one they wanted to target in Syria, they would have taken him out long ago. They wouldn't have turned the country to rubble. The reason they've done it the way they've done it is because they want to turn the country to rubble. And, of course, they want Syria to become part of Greater Israel. That's always on the cards as well. That's why Israel refuses to pull out. And that's why everyone wants to get in there and support Israel. And they see any pulling out of the aggression towards Syria as being a threat to Israel. And really, folks, it's not. And when you look at Syria, you've got to understand it's not a civil war. It's a mercenary force which has been sent in there to overthrow a legitimate government. That's what it is. What's happening in Syria is an aggressive action by the West. It's not a country in a state of civil war that is threatening Israel by having a civil war on its borders. It's actually Israel running an aggressive operation against Syria, being backed by the United States and all of the so-called terrorist forces that have been going into Syria and destabilizing the country from the beginning have been mercenaries hired by the West, trained by Israel and sent in there for a definitive action. And this really cannot be overstated, folks. That's exactly what's going on. And that's why even though Trump wants to pull troops out, Israel is doing everything they can to make sure the conflict continues. Now, Israel thrives on conflict, folks. War and terrorism has always been Israel's biggest export. Well, maybe apart from body parts, organ sales, prostitution, pornography, human trafficking, they're pretty good at that as well. And not to forget 5G. That's a pretty good export from Israel as well. But all this sort of stuff, folks, if you can really look at it and see it, once you do see it, it really becomes apparent why the only real way out of this mess is through a united act of non-compliance. And I get a lot of people questioning about that as well. You know, how do you mean non-compliance? What do you mean about non-compliance? Non-compliance, how is it sustainable and all of this sort of stuff? It's not something that needs to be sustainable. It's not like a new system. It's not anything like that that I'm trying to put forth. It's just a united act of refusal to step outside your moral compass. Now, imagine what would happen if everybody in the world decided they weren't going to use their credit cards for one day. Imagine what would happen, folks, if nobody spent a dollar for one day. The whole stock market would collapse. Everything would freak out. The whole system would not know what to do. Yeah, there would be a shockwave that would go around the entire world if people simply stayed home for one day. You know, something as simple as that. And it may seem insignificant to people, and they think, oh, that wouldn't achieve anything, but it would. You just think about it, folks. If nobody spent any money for one day, what would the system do? You know, they are so caught up with people being caught up in this system, in people's programming and people running on the treadmill to collect every single cent they can find. What would they do if people suddenly said, hang on, this is all fiction and we don't have to do this, and they simply stopped? Imagine what would happen. Now, that would make a huge difference, folks. If people refuse to step outside their moral compass in anything that they do, and if they ask questions when they get given orders by council, by local government. Now, I'm not saying fight with the police. I'm saying ask why. When legislation is put in place that causes harm to society, we just go along with it without asking why, and that is the entirety of the problem. You know, as I've said so many times on the show, you know, the legal system was created to prevent the causation of harm and to provide remedy when harm is caused. If it is the government and the legal system itself which is causing harm to society, then how is it valid in any way? Now, it's only valid because we give it value, because we never question it. We allow it to cause harm against us when the entire system was created to prevent the causation of harm. So how have they turned it around like that? And how have they done it in a way that we are letting them do it, and we're letting them remove our liberties, and we're letting them oppress us under the pretense of keeping us safe? Has it all happened? How did it all work out this way? Well, it worked out this way because of this programmed belief in authority and the ever-present fear of terrorism. The war of terror. That's how they've done it. They've got everybody scared of everybody around the corner. Oh, this guy in the corner who looks weird and got a hoodie on. He may be a bomber, maybe a gunman, maybe this, maybe that. All of these shootings are contrived. All of them are set up by government. Even whether they're victims or not, they're all set up by government to happen. And they're all used in a particular way. They're all played like a fiddle by the media. They're all played to a T to bring about the exact agenda the government wants. And it just keeps everybody in fear of everybody else. So divide and conquer. That's how it's done, folks. But non-compliance, all you've got to do is ask questions. Don't comply with your own slavery. You know, and if you help people around you, reach out to people, help them. You know, you'll find that you've got support from these people if you do that. And once we've got a situation where we can all support each other, then why do we need government? We don't need government at all. And we can stand up against the government if we have a strong enough community to do it. Yeah, that's the thing. Now look what they did in Mexico in the town of Querétaro. They kicked all the government and the police out, and they're having a great time. They've got a very, very progressive and vibrant town. Everybody's happy. Everything's good. There's no crime because they kicked the system out. So that's the way it is, folks. We don't need government. Government is just there to get in the way and to extract what wealth and energy it can from the people. That's its whole purpose. Governments don't keep you safe. Governments manufacture war, manufacture problems, so the people have an excuse to need government. Now, if we didn't have government, we wouldn't have war, because war is always just simply two governments facing off against each other. If we didn't have a government in Saudi Arabia, and we didn't have a government in Yemen, we wouldn't have war between the two countries. If we do have a government in Israel, and we didn't have a government in Palestine, then you wouldn't have conflict between those people either. If you didn't have a government in Iran and a government in the United States, then the countries wouldn't be facing off against each other. It'd just be two lots of people who like to learn about each other and like to know how to get along with each other. And we'd actually all be getting along fine. And again, it all comes down to this quest for energy anyway, which should be free. So, you know, the whole thing's been contrived, folks. The entire thing's a setup. And it's about time people realize just how much we're being played and just how easy it would be to get out of this system through a simple act of non-compliance. And really, ultimately, the ultimate act of non-compliance is simply people waking up to who and what they are. That's it. Because once you wake up to who and what you are, you look around you and you go, what is this? We don't have to do this. Who are you? You can't give me orders because you have no right of ownership over me. Nobody has any right of ownership over anybody else. And if we were free and left to our own devices, we could literally heal the world in a day. We could, folks. You know, years ago when I first started the show, I said one of the most powerful things you can do is grow your own food and to start a community garden and to get involved with your neighbours, because divide and conquer is the motto, and empowered communities, empowered knowledgeable communities, communities who support each other, people who support each other, neighbors who know each other and support each other, is one of the biggest fears that government has. And that's why they've worked so hard to keep people divided by whatever means they can find to do so. People are kept divided within their communities and they don't know and they don't trust each other. People are kept divided by race, caste, color, creed, everything you can think of to divide them. And most of it is based on false history anyway. You know, even when you look at the slave trade and the division between the blacks and the whites, most of this is false, folks. Most of it is false history. You know, nothing that we're told is true, and all we can really be sure of is that which exists within living memory. All of the rest of the stuff is just stuff we get from history books, and how true are any of these books? Now, all of them have been rewritten, all the originals are always lost and burnt, and history is changed over and over again to comply with the current narrative, to comply with the current political narrative, and to support the current agenda, whatever that may be. But it's been rewritten so many times, and when you think about it, folks, it's simply through the control of the education system by taking people's children away from them at such an early age and putting them into that system. It makes it easy to rewrite history and to tell people whatever story you want. And if people think history isn't rewritten and hasn't been rewritten, well, what do you think the history of this time is going to tell people in 100 years? What do you think the history of the 9/11 attacks is going to be? What do you think the history of the War of Terror is going to be? It's all going to be presented as being backwards to what really happened. I mean, the official version of these things now is backwards to reality. So what do you think it's going to say in the history books? Of course, it's going to say that same backwards version. And how true do we know any of it to be? I mean, we go to libraries to learn. We go and read all these books. I spent so many years in libraries when I was a kid because I wanted to find out what was going on. But why is it that we go there? I mean, why is it even called a library? Perhaps it's because all the books are full of lies. I mean, we look at these words, folks, and they kind of tell us what they're doing with the words if we just have the ears to hear and the eyes to see. It's like with the official version we got of World War II, and it was the Allies against the Axis. But when you really look at what happened, the Allies were not the good guys, really the Allies, and everything we were told about the Allies was all lies, just like they told us with the word. Funny that. You know, all the world is a stage and all the words are contrived to really tell us what's going on if we just have the eyes to see it. But it should be apparent by now to anyone able to think and anyone who's really bothered to look at the world situation just how contrived all this mess is. Now, something that I cannot urge people enough to do is to get out and travel. And get out and look at the world and see what is really going on here and see what it's really like in these countries that we're calling enemies. I mean, sure, bad things can happen. You know, we saw these two wonderful women decapitated in Morocco a couple of weeks ago, a brutal crime that happened. And people will say, well, this is Islamic extremism, this is what it does, and this is why you can't travel. But you've got to look at what programmed those guys into doing that. Very likely they were just young kids with a chip on their shoulder who have had their country brutalized and got coerced into thinking that way because it's very easy to do that to people. It's like ISIS. I mean, we say ISIS is all run by Israel and all this sort of stuff, but sure, there is an element in there which is just young kids who sign up to go and fight the jihadi war because that's what they're programmed to do. Because they've seen the whole world turn to hell around them, they've seen their parents killed, and they get indoctrinated into this ideology and away they go. But it's not Islam. You know, a lot of the Christian atrocities that we saw in the so-called Dark Ages that didn't actually exist, but a lot of the stuff that we saw in the Crusades, this was not Christianity. This was just people being indoctrinated into that mindset, same as the Spanish Inquisition. But even with all of these things, I mean, you've got to call all of these things into question now. With the rediscovery of Tartaria and the loss of Tartarian history and the major influence that this place had on the entire world is very, very visible by the architecture and the motifs that we find all around the world. When you really start looking at this, then you have to start questioning all of the other histories that were given as well and just how much of it were cover stories for other activities that actually happened. You know, I've questioned before the Napoleonic War, the War of Troy, the Bolshevik Revolution, what these were really all about, whether they were really based on the ideologies that we were told. I mean, sure, the events happened, but did they happen when we were told they happened, and did they happen for the reasons we were told they happened? That's the question. Now, all of it comes into question, folks. Even the Spanish Inquisition, all of this stuff comes into question. You know, what was really going on? What was the real purpose in all of this stuff? Yeah, and all of this is coming to light now, and I think this is a wonderful time. Yeah, this is something that is really uniting people, and because of this rise of this information, the rediscovery of this information, I'm starting to see quite a bright future unfolding for mankind. Even with all of the bad stuff that we've got happening, even with the 5G grid and all the stuff the governments are trying to do, I honestly don't think they're going to get away with it too much more. I mean, sure, maybe there's some form of reset happening. Maybe there's a cataclysmic event that is right around the corner. Who knows? Maybe these things happen in a regular cycle. This is something else that we've been looking into and something that I want to get back into over the next few shows as well. But all of these things, even if there is going to be some sort of a cataclysmic event, well, this is a celestial event, folks. This is a worldwide event, and it's not going to be really making too much of a difference arguing about it and screaming about it and getting paranoid about it. These sorts of things, if they happen, well, they happen. It would be nice to know they happen, but really what we are attempting to do with all of this is to establish the freedom we need to find out what exactly is happening and what this world is all about and what this life is really for and why all of this stuff has been concealed from us. I mean, it isn't just about control. There's got to be other reasons why we are being harvested the way we are. And we are being harvested right now, folks. It isn't that they have to kill you to harvest you. I mean, they're harvesting your energy all the time just by getting you to comply with this system. Just by making sure you walk between the lines every single day of your life and you do what you're told and you have to pay to be alive and you have to follow these orders and do this and do that. This is a harvest. It's an energetic harvest that is happening right from the moment of birth right up until the moment of death. So this is an ongoing thing, folks, and it's important that we put it all in perspective. You know, the new world order that we are all in fear of is already here. The new world, at least, is already here. All they are really doing at the moment with this smart grid is consolidating their power and creating the order in the new world that they want, hence the new world order. But the new world is already here, and it's been here for all living memory. You know, as Morpheus said in The Matrix, it's a prison for your mind. It's a prison that I was able to see at 4 years old as soon as I became aware of my surroundings, and it's a prison that I've tried to understand and comprehend and find my way out of for my entire life. And it took years and years before I really realized that everything that constrains me, everything that constrains everybody, is fiction. It's all just a meme. It's just this belief in authority and this belief that we must do what is written down on paper, irrespective of what our moral compass says. And history is an integral part of it, folks. You know, the hiding of history and the control of history, the creating of what appears to be this democratic government system that arose from the ashes of the great Roman Empire, all of this sort of stuff has been designed to put that mindset in people. But it's all false. And when you throw all of that away and you really step back and look at things, folks, when you really start to consider the concept of Tartaria and the concept of what it would mean to have free energy on the world and what it would mean to have religious tolerance in the world, and you begin to see that all of the wars can only exist because we have one worldwide crime family working together, masquerading as government in all of these countries, it all begins to make sense. You think about it, folks. How would you go to war with another country? This has to be well organized. You know, two countries just don't suddenly decide to go to war with each other. It's all a well organized event, and it always has been. All the world is a stage, folks, and the Great Awakening is happening. All we have to do is choose to participate. And all of us can make a difference, folks. That's what this show is all about, and hopefully that's what people get involved with when they listen to this show and get out into the world. Because that's what it's all about, folks. We can all make a difference. All we have to do is choose to participate. And, well, once again, folks, we have reached that time where it is now the end of the show. Again, sorry I didn't get to bring you one last week, but it's been nice to come back and talk to you again this week, and I'll be sure to bring you one next week. However, the following weekend, the weekend of the 17th and 18th of January, I'm not going to be able to deliver a show to you because I have speaking dates on those days in Coffs Harbour here in Australia and in Byron Bay in Australia. And you'll find a link to that on my website, the event in Coffs Harbour. It's called Illuminate. And there's another one in Byron Bay as well on the 18th. And the event in Byron Bay is part of a four-day workshop, which is about, I believe, $600 or $700 to actually attend. But if you were to roll up to the Byron Bay Community Centre about lunchtime on Friday, the 18th of January, you should be able to purchase an afternoon ticket to come and see my talk if you'd like to do that. I'm not sure how much it'd be, but it would be far less than $700, folks. I imagine it would be something like $20 or $50 or something. I really don't know how much they would charge for someone to come in for the afternoon, but I really don't think it would be too much. So that is a possibility for anyone who is in the Byron Bay area around about lunchtime on the 18th of January. Apart from that, I'll be speaking at Anacapulco in February, and I'm really looking forward to that event, folks. It's going to be a great gig. Do come along to that if you are anywhere in New Mexico. They're having discount ticket sales at the moment too, I believe. So if you'd like a ticket, go to anacapulco.com and check out the prices there. And if you use the coupon CROWHOUSE for your purchase, you'll also get a further discount on that ticket. So that might be something worth looking at as well. But it's going to be a good gig, folks. There's pretty well a week long of events there. There's the whole cryptocurrency crew, and then there's all these speakers on the main stage, which include myself and Larkin Rose and Ron Paul. I think David Icke's going to be there as well. All sorts of people are going to be there. Mark Passio will be there. Mark Devlin will be there. Benny Wills will be there. All sorts of people will be there. So do come along to that if you are in any way able to do so. Thank you again to all the people who send me so many wonderful emails. I've actually got a day set aside next week where I'm going to be going through emails and attempting to answer as many as possible, so look out for that one. And thank you to all of my Patreon supporters. I could not do any of this work were it not for your contributions. So as always, I really cannot thank you enough for that, but that is it for me, folks. I've completely run out of time, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.